You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Live from the rural desert outside Phoenix, Arizona, significantly outside Phoenix, Arizona, this is the Common Sense Show, and I am your host, Dave Hodges, and we're the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. When I tell you that I'm out there in the country, we were just discussing, I'm really out there in the country. Our nearest gas station, supermarket, about 18, 20 miles away. 15 for your humble abodes, stuff that you wouldn't give to your dog to eat. Anyway, here we are. It is Sunday. We come to you live all the time, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the West Coast. And we have an all-star show for you tonight. First hour. Doug Hagman, and the Hagman and Hodges Report here, right here, our little new news hour, and Doug said he's coming in hot and heavy, I can't wait. Second hour, Paul Preston with a revelation that's going to leave you scratching your head and might knock you on your keister. It's incredible, you're not going to want to miss it. It's the second of a two-part interview I did. The first part's contextual. The second part, like I said, it gets into the we're going to blow you away scenario. And then the third hour, kind of a last switch here in programming, but guess who we have on? Not going to believe it. Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. So we have a superstar lineup tonight here on the Common Sense Show, which is brought to you by, in part, BeCandid.com. And, you know, I don't like it when people say, hey, Dave, don't use my name, because I use my name every day. You never know when you turn the switch what's going to happen on your car. But anyway, that aside, BeCandid.com is made for people who are really don't want to put their name on their boss likes Hillary. I get that. Go to BeCandid.com and sign up for the Common Sense Show, and you can be whoever, whatever you want. But more importantly, you can be free to express yourself. And I've actually got a couple of show ideas from what people have posted there on my site at BeCandid.com. We are also brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals, and I'm telling you, we're getting close, folks. All the prognosticators are saying the economy is coming to an end. We're going to have a screeching halt on the dollar. Well, don't wait for the banks to decide what your future is. That's what happened to my mom's side of the family, who used to have a lot of money, and they lost it all during the Depression. And that was my mom's grandparents, my great-grandparents. Don't be in that situation. Convert your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals and use the guy that I use, Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals, 406-586-4842. Again, that number is 406-586-4842, and either Steve or Daryl will help you out. And I'll tell you, it's the most low-pressure sales you're ever going to see. Also, we're brought to you by Numana Foods. And Numana is, I like to say, saving America one enslaved meal at a time, because if they take the dollar down, you darn well tootin' they're going to take down food and water and weaponize them against the American people for control purposes. And I'm having a lot of people behind the scenes tell me Venezuela's coming to America. So don't take a chance with your family's future. Go to Numana.com/Hodges and take 5% off with the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. We're also brought to you by Trade Genius Academy. Boy, I'll tell you, we're in the midst of going through the course. It's incredible. Really, 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 really good stuff. And you'll learn to do what Bob Kudla knows how to do. You won't have to rely on a broker for much longer. Go to TradeGeniusAcademy.com and sign up. And also, finally, we're brought to you by Bob Griswold's company, ReadyMadeResources.com. Do you need special price? How about water filtration? He's got that too. Communication. You need communications because they will take down cell phones. They will take down the net when trouble comes. Well, this stuff is immune to that. So go to readymaderesources.com. Look at the fine product development that they have and products they have available for your purchase. And then give Bob a call tomorrow. Numbers right there on the website, readymaderesources.com. Well, let's get to the news hour here. We have Doug Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report heard right here on this terrific network, Global Star Radio Network. And Doug's show airs from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. I believe it's the most popular show on radio. I think it's certainly the most quality show on radio. And every Sunday, we have one of the Hagmans here. It's either Joe or Doug. Tonight, we have Doug. And like I said at the top, he's coming in hot and heavy. Okay, Doug, I'm braced for impact. What's going on? And welcome to the show.
All right. Well, first of all, Dave, thanks for having me. I appreciate having some time off, and I apologize for my absence, but glad to be back with you. Yeah, a lot of things going on, and I broke it down today in preparation for tonight. I broke it down into a couple of different areas that I personally like to address, and I think if I were to term what I've got for you, I guess I would term it housekeeping. And that doesn't sound like anything hot and heavy. It sounds like mundane to me, okay, or to the average listener perhaps. But I think the devil is in the details here that we're going to be talking about. A couple of things. One thing in particular, the issue with censorship against the conservative media. I kind of want to start off with that and kind of grow from there, grow what we're going to be talking about from there, because we saw over the last couple of months a number of very interesting things happen. Of course, Bill O'Reilly leaving Fox News, being terminated from Fox News. And then, of course, we saw Sean Hannity being the subject of something I would call an organized attack, during which time, again, this is my own personal and professional opinion, during which time a serial stalker had, in my view, this is my personal opinion of this individual, kind of piling onto the mix, accusing Mr. Hannity of sexual harassment 15 plus years ago. Okay. All of this is part of a bigger pattern here. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I see some things taking place or that will take place that will impact the trajectory of our platform. Our platform meaning the independent media. It's interesting because Bill O'Reilly has moved to a podcast format. And there's some interesting hints he dropped about the backstory behind his dismissal. Apparently, there was there's some discussion between Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck. And regardless of what you think of either person, the personalities really don't matter. It's the content, in my view, that does. And Bill O'Reilly had explained that he needed to stay quiet about the inside baseball stuff that was going on at Fox News. However, he would attempt to, in the coming weeks, attempt to explain what's really taking place. Now, he somewhat foreshadowed a future battle in court, and there was a quote that was attributed to him I felt was rather interesting. That quote is this. He said, "We have a lot of information, but my lawyers are begging me not to say anything. We're going to drop it in the next few weeks." And it's really, really stunning how organized that was and what these people did. And that's a reference to, of course, the takedown of Bill O'Reilly from Fox News. And I think that can overlap Sean Hannity, his position, of course, the Murdochs versus the Ailes. There are two separate camps at Fox News. The Ailes, of course, Roger Ailes having passed away, but the Ailes loyalists versus the Murdoch, those in power.
Doug, let me add, he mysteriously passed away. I think there was some foul play there.
Yeah, I don't know the details on that.
All the bodies are buried.
Yes, I agree with that. Very interesting timing, to say the least, on that. So, yeah, I don't know the details, but the tribute is death allegedly stemming from a fall. Otherwise, I don't know. But you make a good point there, and I think we have to kind of keep an eye on that, or keep that in the back of our minds as we look at the totality of things that we were seeing coming from Fox News. And the reason I mentioned Fox News as being kind of the front and center here is, again, it's symptomatic of something larger that we're seeing. And this week we had on our show for a segment a gentleman by the name of Peter Barry Chowka. And he's an author, a political media news junkie, self-admitted. In fact, he was one of the first, the youngest man with press credentials in the Nixon press room. And the reason I bring his name up is he wrote three articles for the American Thinker, one on May 19th, another on the May 23rd, and then a third on May 30th that really get into detail about Fox News and about Bill O'Reilly, about Sean Hannity, and about the environment there. And again, the reason this is all important, people might think, well, this is just mainstream media, it's not important, but it is. Because once you start peeling back the layers of the attackers here, you can start to see the Saul Alinsky tactics, the playbooks, the same playbooks, and the same funding, the same people, the same elites. And even as we spoke off air, and I reference Peter Barry Chowka, as we spoke off air, we were talking about how the elitism and the arrogance of the top media people is so evident and so insulated from reality that they are creating their own reality, of course, and then pushing it upon the American people. And when you look at their salaries, for example, one broadcast is more than the average person makes in 3 years, for the bigger names. You start to see this disconnect, but more importantly, you start to see the alliances that are building based on power, money, and influence. And, of course, money does provide the power and influence. So, all of that said, I believe that when you take a look at what's taking place with Fox News, this is an attempt to take down the only mainstream conservative nationally syndicated station. And that's going to have a number of collateral effects. There's going to be some collateral damage from that. But it's going to also do something else, I think. And I think it's going to create a different environment for you and I and shows like ours, where those people that are casualties of this internal takeover or internal takedown will come out and will attempt to utilize the internet, as we are already doing, providing additional insight or additional the spotlight on our venue. And I think that that's going to have a very positive effect. However, and this is where it gets kind of dicey, I do see with that an increased regulation of what you and I can talk about based on the in order to shut up and shut down the collateral, the people affected collaterally by Fox News, for example, Bill O'Reilly, perhaps Sean Hannity, as well as others not so well known. So I see this being kind of a shining light in the distance, at least initially, but I also see the government regulations coming in and requiring, or causing certain changes within the venue of our platform. And I'm not so sure how much sense that made, but if you take a look at it, what's the one...
What kind of changes, Doug?
Well, I think I think that the regulations, along with the cost of doing business, the one of the ways to regulate an industry is to require licensing, require a certain amount of government servitude. For example, a private investigator, we'll say in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, for example, as I am and have been for the last 30 years, it takes money, and a lot of it takes a lot of insurance. It takes a lot of there's a lot of regulatory costs involved in the operation of a licensed private investigative agency. Some, I believe, yeah, you need that for oversight or for at least self policing or the policing of the industry. However, it creates a situation where many cannot or will not be able to afford broadcasting, even a simple podcast, for example. If you regulate, compare it to the ammunition situation we saw a couple of years back. If you could get ammunition, a box of the 22 cartridges were just outrageous. You know, a ban, for example, a ban on ammunition could take many forms. One being, it could become cost prohibitive. Another, it could, let's just say, with ammunition, the government could say, okay, we're going to require you to register your ammunition or register in order to buy ammunition. Apply those tactics to the independent media, and that's kind of what I'm referring to. Maybe that was a poor analogy, but I think people can see that. I think that that's where this is headed, and I think that we have to self-police ourselves. You know, we can't go on the air and, of course, incite violence. And I don't really know anyone who does that. But when you attach a price tag to that regulation, we'll say, or that licensing status to ostensibly prevent something like that, it could be an issue. And again, I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, but I can see where this would affect all of us in the independent media, more so than the mainstream journalists, perhaps. So that's kind of what I'm saying. But pay attention. I guess what I'm saying here is, as well, is pay attention to Fox News. And the last thing I'll say with respect to Fox News is Peter Barry Choka, the American Thinker, is going to have an article tomorrow where I am quoted in that article. I do have a source within Fox News. I'm not going to give the name of my source. This person works on Sixth Avenue, and works with a lot of the people that America, you know, they would know their names. And of course, it's a very close knit kind of operation. And according to my source, the internal war that is taking place to change Fox News from a conservative position to a liberal. And when I say liberal, I'm talking left of center, not progressive, not right away, but liberal nonetheless, or slightly progressive in that direction. The war is it's a hot war right now. Sean Hannity is at the epicenter of this, and many people are. Well, there was. I'm not quoted by saying this. I'll tell you this. In the conversation I had with my source, there was a kind of a chuckle with respect to having an office pool of the departure date of Sean Hannity or the termination date of Sean Hannity. Of course, neither one of us thought that was funny, but that's the attitude that exists at Fox News. So that's going to have this blast radius that I do believe will involve the alternative media. So that's one thing that I'm concerned about, which of course gets into other things such as the the talk of a civil war coming this summer. Now, we have said this, my goodness, how many years have we talked about this, Dave? How many years have we said, oh, it, you know, the potential for the civil war is here, and, you know, people are, frankly, are getting tired of hearing about it. They're saying, oh, not this again, and my goodness, how many times are we going to hear this or fall for this? But what I've been hearing from people within groups like Oath Keepers, including Oath Keepers, and groups very, very similar to Oath Keepers as well, is that the progressive left is extremely well organized. We saw that yesterday or this past weekend with the various responses to two different initiatives that took place. One was an pro-life initiative across the United States, and the second was a pro-Constitution anti-Sharia march. Yeah, I believe that was in 28 cities. The news, of course, was not necessarily the marches, for example, the anti-Sharia pro-Constitution or the pro-life marches, although the mainstream media covered that topic, but where the real news exists is in the response, the immediate rollout and the level of response to the events. The sophistication of the signage. When you start looking at the not the people marching, again, not the pro-life people, but when you start looking at the people marching against the pro-life people, and you see that the signs are professionally done, and you see that the level of coordination in responding to these events are well planned, and you start to see the level of sophistication in the rollout to protest the marches, it begins to look a little bit more refined than it did even 6 months ago during the resist marches. So what we're seeing is now an increase, and I've talked to people within Oath Keepers, and I will just use that group because of their reputation, who said that they are seeing a dramatic rise in the level of sophistication of response in the response against any event. They can mobilize people today much quicker and many more people than they could even 6 months ago. And that, when you start following the money trail, the breadcrumbs trail, that goes directly to Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton, but specifically Obama and his shadow government, and specifically the various organizations that Obama has created, that comprise numerous attorneys, that comprise many community organizing offices and officers all across the country. So again, the level of sophistication, along with the manpower, along with the sophisticated communications that they have built using social networking, the response time, the average response time by the people I just referenced, is incredibly and significantly better than it was 6 months ago. That's what's really causing the people like the Oath Keepers to say, wait a minute, man, there's something really well-funded and well-honed taking place here. So, that said, the blowback from the pro-constitutional events could turn much hotter, much quicker, especially with the element of with the elements that are involved in the anti-capitalism, anti-Trump, anti-constitutional movements, and the anti-Second Amendment people. Those people who are really wanting to see some sort of clampdown on both the First and Second Amendments. A lot of concern there, and that has never existed before. within the last decade or so, when we've been talking about civil war, there could be something that could flash anywhere, any city, any time, any event, and put us into quite a tailspin. And that's something that I've been told that we're seeing. And that does, by the way, at the same time that would happen, of course, there would be an obvious crackdown on programming and speeches, free speech, the way it's considered free speech, with programs like yours and mine. And that overlaps into the first issue I was mentioning. And then, of course, I wanted to mention this, Dave. Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Just going back to what you said, though, with the licensing requirement, 14th Amendment, we pool our resources, we get an attorney. It would take a martial law kind of crackdown, I think, to enforce this, because you have journalists running amok at CNN and Fox, ABC, the whole gamut, who have no training, no degree. They're just a mouthpiece or look good in a bathing suit. And they can't have requirements for one part of the profession without having the same requirements for the other. We'd prevail in court. Now, I agree with you. If the crackdown comes because of some trigger mechanism like a false flag, then the game is over because it's martial law. And I also agree with you continuing to talk about civil war. And quite frankly, I don't give a darn what anybody says, because ideologically, we already are in a civil war. You have, I don't know if it's half the country, but those who identify with the liberal progressive movement are so far afield from traditional American values and traditional American government. I mean, some of them are farther to the left than Stalin. And ideologically, we are split as a country, and I don't see that split ever changing. And then you add the 80 senators that Trevor Loudon has identified as enemies within in his great book and documentary. We've got all these people in Congress and Senate that belong to communist front groups, Muslim Brotherhood front groups. And then add one more thing here, Doug. June 2nd set off a wave of protests around the country now, sponsored Soros organizations. And what are they protesting? Trump. Anything Trump. This is to go on for a month, and they're going to reach 140 cities. So anyone who says that you're a reactionary or overreactor isn't paying attention to what's going on. That's my reaction to what you said in the last several minutes. Hello, Doug.
There we go. How's that?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
There we go.
Yeah, I accidentally knocked my mute button.
Sorry, I can hear you fine.
All right. With respect to what you just said, with respect to the Civil War aspect, I totally agree with you on that. One of the elements I believe that could be a problematic, or that would really be a game changer, would be the calls or continued calls for impeachment of Donald Trump. And we're not, obviously, Representative Al Green made the call for impeachment, but I think you're going to see, despite the blowing up of the narrative, of the Russian narrative, aside from that, you're going to see some ethics issues brought forward. And what did Obama set up after January, after he left office, was a specific group that does nothing but deals with the ethics. And what he did, what Obama did, was he dragged attorneys that worked in-house at the White House into this subgroup, this NGO, this 501c4. And there's a group, there's like five attorneys. But soon, within just several weeks of the initial formation of this organization, we saw, there were an additional 24, 25 attorneys brought on. And their entire purpose, think about this, 36 lawyers, whose entire purpose is to do nothing but gum up the works by filing charges, filing legal challenges throughout the court system to Obama-friendly or progressive-friendly judges at the federal district court level. they don't have to, the system doesn't have to work, or the cases don't have to have merit. Just the fact that they have to be dealt with can overwhelm the system, the Cloward Piven type of operation. But the calls for impeachment, of course, will be fueled through the media, through the communists who are masquerading as Democrats, by continued leaks by the deep state. Very selective leaks by the deep state that will provide the perception of some sort of impropriety. Again, the perception, which is much different than the reality. And then you've got the wild card in this, I believe. You're going to have the never Trumpers start to pile on. And then, of course, the establishment Republicans will follow. People like Priebus and Paul Ryan, and of course your favorite, John McCain and his buddy Graham. You're going to see a lot of things, I believe, in that realm begin to coalesce, especially as more leaks come out, and especially as this special counsel begins to work and go forward. And that special counsel was set up. No, I believe that Mueller was picked and allowed to be placed in that position because of his relationship with Comey. And I think that when you look at the relationship between Mueller and Comey, I think that you'll see that there's this intent here to kill the presidency and to impeach, not literally legally, but impeach in the eyes of the public, the president. And of course, the real legitimate impeachment will follow. And that will be the impetus, I believe, for people of average means, average intelligence, and the blue collar crowd, the middle American people, to say, we're not going to stand for this. And there's going to be the flashpoint for this. Now, stepping back one more step, which I opened with respect to the restrictions being imposed upon broadcasters, independent broadcasters, you're correct. We can, there's a level of civil disobedience there. However, they can pull certain switches and we could be silenced. On the other hand, it doesn't even have to get to that point. Just think of Lois Lerner, for example, what she did to the 501c3s, conservatives, and how she just legally stopped them from becoming 501c3s. And I can see where the IRS as an instrument, as a weapon, can be used as a weapon, because the problem that we have today, and the problem that we see continuing, is the continual maintenance of the Obama loyal progressives in positions within the government. President Trump has not been able to fill various positions, ambassadorships and such. And we're seeing this blowback. We're seeing all these roadblocks thrown up in front of President Trump and his attempts to fill positions. Meanwhile, the people loyal to Obama and the people loyal to the progressive ideology remain in power, and you've got that Lois Lerner type environment there. So that's kind of what I'm seeing. The relentless campaign to delegitimize the Trump administration will lead to war, and I believe it'll lead to war either here domestically or overseas. And this is where I've been reading some of your material, and this is kind of where you come in a sense, where you've got some military contacts and you've been seeing some shenanigans and some machinations of the deep state poking around globally. And I think that that's a very important part of this as well, because if, for example, they are not successful, when I say they, I'm talking about the progressives, are not successful in igniting a hot war here in the U.S., I do believe that Plan B involves igniting a war overseas. And it'll be through the a very malicious intelligence. It'll be through the sabotage of our own military operations or military systems. Or it could be a false flag event, and I was going to name it's going to be one of those. So all of that said, and I think that we have to take a look at this not with a microscope, but kind of in a broad way. We have to use a bigger lens. And I've always been a fan of looking at the bigger picture, because I think you can see the pieces being moved across a three-dimensional chessboard, as opposed to this one-dimensional chessboard or even a checkerboard. I think that what we're seeing here now is this response by the deep state, their collaboration with the media, with the communist progressives, with the and even to some extent with the Never Trumpers, certainly the establishment Republicans. At those levels, we're seeing the formation of this enemy within. And Trevor Loudon, you're right, by the way, does a great job in naming the individuals behind this in government and elsewhere. And I think, too, lastly, and this is kind of the last part of my opening statement, shall we say, one thing that we are doing here with our organization, Dave, is I've been very blessed and fortunate to have a number of investigators who, back in 04, 03, 04, even back as far as 2002, we had come together and we had, of course, created the Northeast Intelligence Network. And we had done so for the sole purpose of monitoring the Arabic language websites and turning over our information for both domestic plots and for overseas plots to the FBI. Well, we have reformatted this group, as I've mentioned in the past. Now we've got a larger cadre of investigative specialists, people who are really at the tops of their professions in the private sector, who are pooling their talents. We're pulling our talents together under the banner of our organization. That's not to say, you know, it's our organization. We're just kind of pulling it under the name of Northeast Intelligence Network. And we are infiltrating the various fascist groups. We're infiltrating groups that also involve pedophilia, monitoring the dark web in that respect. And we've also teamed up with people like Craig Sawyer, Liz Crokin, Alicia Powell, and other independent journalists, in addition to the investigative aspect of things, on the other side, the reporting side of things. So instead of taking our investigative finds to the FBI and then having those findings go nowhere, we're now able to bring it out to the public so everyone can see what has been uncovered, much like Project Veritas, for example, and the Center for Medical Progress. And of course, you know, we're in that same venue as well. So that's kind of that, more or less, Dave, concludes my opening statement. Sorry about that lengthy
it's quite one, and I will tell you that it's a powder keg right now. I mean, if I were to describe the condition of America right now, it's a powder keg. Soros has been allowed to commit treason against the people of the United States by organizing subversives whose sole goal is a coup d'etat. And CNN is a party to this. The other day I was sitting in a restaurant, last week, Doug, it was on Wednesday, and on the TV screen in the restaurant, they had CNN on with a pop-up that had the countdown to the Comey hearing. Their whole purpose at CNN is the takedown of Donald Trump and the preservation of the deep state.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had Jack Posobiec on the night before the hearings, and he's from Washington, D.C., very, very influential on Twitter, or very well-known on Twitter. And he described how the bars, the restaurants all had drink specials, food specials set up for this Comey hearing. And they were there was this expectation of this Watergate-like takedown of President Donald Trump, which never came. As a matter of fact, it was so obviously the news, of course, it depends on who you ask. But isn't it interesting that Comey himself is the leaker or admitted to being a leaker.
And
I think it was on your show, Dave. I'm not 100% sure, but I know Sean Hannity has been giving this a lot of Jay Sekulow and others have been giving this a lot of attention. But with respect to the Comey memo and the information that he gathered contemporaneous with Donald Trump and his conversations, well, you know, without turning that over into over to the Department of Justice right away, he's in violation of his of the U.S. Crimes Code, Section 18, I believe it's Section 4 of the U.S. Crimes Code, because it's misprison of felony, and I've said this before. So if James Comey had truly believed as an officer of the court that he was hearing in his mind some level of manipulation by the director of the FBI or by the President of the United States, his position as director of the FBI would require him to take that information directly to the head of the Department of Justice or a person within the Department of Justice that could exert the proper disposition. He didn't do that. He put it away for a future political use, which he did later, of course. And that, so he's either telling a lie, or he's guilty of, or he's could be charged. I shouldn't say guilty. He could be charged with misprison of felony, which is a violation of 18 U.S.C. I believe it's Section 4. So either way, we saw this.
Well, there's more, Doug. There's more than that.
Go ahead.
He's not just a leaker. I mean, he's not just, let's put it this way, he's not just an agent of obstruction of justice, which he was the principal party to. In other words, if the president asked you to commit a crime, you said you had to report it. That makes him guilty of obstruction. And then you get into the fact that he admitted he's the leaker. Okay,
yes,
now he's revealing state secrets. He's guilty of the same crime that he investigated Hillary Clinton for.
Yes, and gave her a pass.
So
it's crazy, and to watch, you know, to put together a timeline of James Comey. Maybe I should sue him for my medical issues. I've got whiplash. Whiplash watching James Comey change his mind or change his strategy and tactics depending upon the individual or the entity he was investigating. Certainly different standards between Hillary Rodham Clinton and President Donald Trump and their people and their associates. I mean, totally different standards. And the other thing, too, that I've been hearing, and this, and I'm going to toss this out, perhaps you've got some information on this. The Department of Justice right now, and this is uncharacteristic of any other time in history, well, perhaps one, but I won't get into it, but they're looking at Loretta Lynch in a very potentially legally precarious position. And that stems from that tarmac meeting, but it also stems from her handling of or her direction to James Comey for the Hillary Clinton server scandal. I'm not sure if you've been hearing this, but they're looking at Loretta Lynch, perhaps attempting to make her as a scapegoat. Okay, all right. And that's something that people are sides are forming everywhere within the FBI. And I've talked to people within the FBI who said it's a miserable place to work, at least at the Hoover Building. And I've talked to people within various news outlets saying the same thing. And what this is telling me is that people are taking sides now, whereas they might have been quiet a year ago, 6 months ago even. They might have kept their opinions to themselves. Now they're kind of ready to duke it out in front of the water cooler. That's
well,
where
Doug,
I'm
I've
at
got
with this.
A few sources that I want to add to this, what you're saying here, because I agree with what you're saying. I, too, have a source within Fox and have had now for a few months. I don't know if it's the same person, and we'll never know because I'm going to be as tight-lipped as I need to be, but I know you will, too.
You know? Yep.
But I also have a long-term acquaintance with someone in the FBI. Yeah, let me tell you what she told me. She said that people are packing their bags at the FBI and that the deep state purge of mid to upper management has already begun. I'm hearing the same thing from an unnamed source in the State Department. Well, out of the blue, after I had reported this in a podcast, Monica Wesolowski, State Department employee, contacted me. And she said, Dave, I can't speak to the FBI, but I can speak to what I see in the divisions in which I work. And she's right, and he's right. In other words, she's seeing her supervisor is preparing to leave, her supervisor's supervisor is preparing to leave, and so are their ancillary aides, and the major reason they're giving is Donald Trump. There's purges going on inside the FBI right now as we speak, and the State Department. And I got the same thing from the Fox News reporter, whose sources are telling them that, and they're the ones that want to, and this reporter was the one that encouraged me to put all this together. So, Doug, you're right on the money, but the purge has begun. Now, there's speculation, and I wanted to ask you about this, that to make all of this crap go away for Trump and to remove the veil of threat over his family, which has been issued, that he can have his deep state purge, but he has to stop Sessions from the child sex trafficking investigations. And it's a deal made from two primaries, I've been told, in the deep state, and Donald Trump's people. I don't know if that's entirely factual, but Doug, it's consistent with what I'm being told in other areas. Do you know anything about this?
Well, we do. And boy, that's very interesting. I want to be very careful how I frame this. We have seen since Donald Trump has assumed the presidency and Jeff Sessions has been sworn in, we've seen a record number of arrests of child traffickers, pornographers, to be more accurate. We've seen the numbers in the low five figures. Now, that
right.
Combined with a number of other things that involve sex trafficking, child sex trafficking, and the involvement of high-ranking officials that include and overlap, even involving, and again, I want to be very careful about this, but even involving the Seth Rich homicide, elements of the Seth Rich homicide, to be more precise.
That's the catalyst, yeah.
Yeah. There have been warning shots, no pun intended, against some of the people who superintend such investigations, against the people who superintend some of the investigations. I do believe that President Trump has been put on notice, maybe not directly, but indirectly through the Department of Justice. And I think the people who know what I'm talking about will know exactly what I'm talking about. There's been some warnings issued. Don't touch certain elements of this controversy. Okay, and you'll be fine. But I don't see how, Dave, that's even possible, given the scope of what's taking place and the serious nature, where they could possibly lay this all on Donald Trump and expect Donald Trump to stop any of this. Because I don't think, frankly, once it's started, and it's already started, by that I mean not just the investigation, but the actual prosecution of the people, the arrests of the people, and the cultivation of those who have been arrested and turning those people into operational and informational assets for further prosecutions, you can't stop that. And for Donald Trump to be able to stop that, I don't think that's possible, and that's going to place Donald Trump in a very precarious position, to say the very least. So, yes, it's consistent with what you're hearing, but I don't believe it to be possible, probable, or even comprehensible, really, at the end of the day. I don't know, again, if that makes sense, but I'm trying to be as judicious as possible when I'm talking about this, because this is a really, this involves some of the highest people, not just in the federal government, but in the state governments, in the various social platforms, churches, social services, child CPS. I mean, child CPS, we do an entire show on that. And you have. But, and the military. And by the way, there is an element of this that we're talking about that involves the Islamic component here, the pro-Sharia forces in this country teaming up with the red communist forces that has, as part of this unholy alliance, this mutual, this mutual interest or mutual activity that involves this particular event of child and sex trafficking, which also overlaps not just into that, but into drugs and into, or in, please believe me, into organ harvesting and weapons and running. Okay, so all of this, rat lines in the United States.
Well, Doug, let me put you on the spot.
Yes. Sure.
Do you think that Trump has been directly or indirectly threatened to stop the pursuit of child sex trafficking through his attorney general?
I do believe that. I mean, even at my lowest level of being an investigator, when you get close to something that's really hot and involves powerful people, you're going to get direct or indirect threats. I mean, that's just part of the business. So I would have to believe it as a normal course of business. But in the nature or
absolutely.
The type of...
Yeah, listen,
Yeah, go ahead.
We're really short on time, Doug, so let me just say, I think we're in total agreement. I'll just add one little footnote to this. I've been told it's not even so much the stuff emanating out of Pizzagate and the Seth Rich murder mystery. They're going up the line of the Sandusky Trail through the second mile in the Congress and the governor's office of Pennsylvania. That's the best information I've received lately. But anyway, Doug, we got about 20 seconds here, and you got a book called Stained by Blood. And I like to promote this when you're on, because my people love it and who've got it. I've gotten feedback. Thank you for tell Doug thank you for writing this. I've got those kind of comments. So quickly tell people how they can get a copy.
Wow. Thanks, Dave. Stained by Blood, stainedbyblood.com. There, I'll tell you what, just for your show, for the next, if you type in Dave Hodges, I'll sign the book and send it out to you for $15 for between now and the next 48 hours. So between today, the 11th, and the 13th, $15 signed. That includes shipping, just for the audience of Dave Hodges. And you just have to put Dave Hodges.
That is generous. And Doug, on that note, Dave Hodges, and we'll actually mention this in the second hour. Thanks so much for joining us, Doug. It's been a terrific hour, and we really need another hour to cover it. I'm going to be contacting you for a podcast at some point. I know you're busy, but there's just too much on the table right now. Thanks, Doug, and we'll talk to you next week or in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, sir. Have a good night.